Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, it's Saturday morning and time for all of our listeners to join me. I'm Professor Applewhite and are coming on live for the radio show Student to Teacher to Student. And we'll be discussing the roles and responsibilities of students and teachers this morning and sharing your views on what makes an effective teacher. We'll have a number of guests that will be joining us this morning for our first show. And I invite you to call in at 646-727-3758. Please call in and let me know what you think and if you have any comments for today's show. Our segment is called When the Student is Ready, the Teacher Appears. What does that mean, when the student is ready, the teacher appears? Well, first off, we have to understand, what is the student? Who is the student? Is the student only someone who is in grades kindergarten through 12? Or is the adult learner? Or is the student anyone who believes in lifelong learning? I'll take all three. How about that? Anyone who is involved in the learning process is defined as the student. Anyone who takes on the role at any time of helping others to learn something becomes the teacher. So the student is defined again as anyone that is in the academic arena, kindergarten through 12th grade, in college, in graduate school, or someone involved in lifelong learning. That means reading materials just for your self-growth. Things that feed your mind positive thoughts. Now, when we talk about the teacher, we're talking about anyone that at any given time becomes someone who helps others to learn. Sometimes helping others to learn simultaneously with what you're learning. That means learning at the same time. Maybe you're reading something to one of your children or to a nephew or a niece or to someone that you just know on a bus. And you say, wow, look at this. Look what happened over here in Afghanistan. Look what happened over here in the United States. Look how we can help people. That's helping another person learn, and that makes you the teacher. Now, a lot of teachers will say from the academic arena, well, wait a minute. The teacher means that you've gone through a number of years of academic training and that you are now deemed a certified teacher. Well, I don't have any disagreement with that. Absolutely not. We certainly respect all of our teachers, including myself, who have gone through the academic training of, well, gosh, let's say at least 4 years of undergraduate, at least 4 additional years of postgraduate studies. And we honor those teachers who have gone through that so that they can talk about academic way of education. You see, education is a rounded philosophy. Because even if you haven't gone through the academic realm, then you have in some way learned something throughout your life, learned something for yourself, and then within that, the human being is automatically encouraged to share what they have learned with another person. But now back to this teacher who says, wait a minute, you just can't call everybody teacher. I ask you to open your mind to what a very great researcher brought out to us. And that is that there are at least 8 different intelligences that we can say that someone develops throughout their lifetime. And those intelligences come in different arenas. It could be from a simple person who, a drawing that a person puts on, they're drawing with crayons on a piece of paper. And that could be from the kidney age or to, I mean, what I do with grandsons. I sit down and I draw with them, and I buy coloring books, and I really enjoy it. It's not just for them. So what I ask you to do is open up your mind, teachers, to the possibility of Gardner's multiple intelligences. And we have a caller on the line, and I'm going to ask for them to identify themselves. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite on Student to Teacher to Teacher. Hello. You're on air. Hello. Good morning. Good morning. Okay. Well, I know that we have someone on air trying to get through, and just keep on trying. We're not having any technical difficulties at this time, and hopefully you've called in to become one of our listeners. Dial in and comment on at 646, telephone number, 646. Seven morning on student to teacher to student. This is Professor Applewhite. Do I have anyone on air right now? All right, I'll continue with my session. Just opening up the open up your minds this morning, all of us as teachers. But I really wanted to address the concept of teacher, especially for those who have gone through the academic training. And might be in some way concerned about how I can call just anyone a teacher. Well, back to the old ancient philosophies of teaching. In addition to Gardner's multiple intelligences, education is the key. When we talk about education, that is a full-rounded concept that deals with what are you learning, what are you educated in, whether or not you've gone through the academic training or not. So I ask you to open to the fact that we as teachers can be taught by our students and by other teachers. So we become this nice rounded circle of student to teacher to student to teacher, student to teacher, and it goes on in this continuum. In addition to that continuum of student to teacher to student to student to student, we also find out that there's this ability for us to readiness. And what is readiness? And I think we just lost a caller here. We'll ask for you to call back in again, and we'll try our best for you. All right. Thank you so much for trying to call in to our guest call-in number at 646-727-3758. Joining us now on Student to Teacher to Student Radio, Internet Radio on Block Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. Finishing up here on this concept, and I see that caller has called back in. I'm going to try again to get you on air. Okay, caller on air. Hello, good morning. Professor Applewhite, student to teacher to student. And what is your name? I believe that you muted your phone in some way. You muted your phone. You don't have to do that. You can actually just keep your line open so that way you can discuss things openly, okay? And then we have another one that just called in, and you can mute your phone on this line.
Okay.
Okay. All right, no need to mute. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Please address you to hear from you.
Nazim Rashid.
And you are?
Nazim Rashid.
And you are affiliated with the White Apple Institute, Nazim Rashid. And I thank you so much for calling in this morning. Tell us what you do for White Apple Institute.
Well, I'm a personal development consultant and author of my upcoming book called Connecting with Our Youth.
You are definitely a wonderful author. Your book, Connect with Our Youth, I have had an opportunity to look at your book and read some of the delicious pages, I will call them. And I'm pleased to say that I hope that once it is published, that we can encourage all of our listeners to pick up a copy of Connecting to Our Youth. If you are interested in putting in an order, a back order for this book, please contact WhiteAppleInstitute.org and send us a message and say, listen, I want to hear about Nazim's book. And in a little bit, in about 15 minutes or so, Nazim Rashid will be co-hosting our show this morning, and he'll be sharing some excerpts from his book. Right now, I wanted to finish up, and we have another caller online. Let's say hello to them. Okay. Hello, you're on Block Talk Radio. The show is Student to Teacher to Student. This is Professor Applewhite. How are you? Good morning. Good morning. You can say good morning. Just speak right into your phone.
Good morning.
Okay. Good morning.
This is Dorothy Rashid with White Apple Institute, and I'm the resource consultant. And later in the show today, I'll be sharing something about our Identity Shift program.
Wow. Well, thank you. And that's a tremendous resource for us, Dorothy Rashid. And we have one more caller online that I'm trying to get through and ask them not to mute their phone. Here we are. How are you? Hello. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite with Student to Teacher to Student. Good morning. You on air. Okay. Well, let's continue with our discussion, and please feel free to comment as necessary. Just giving a broad concept, sharing a broad concept of what it means to be the student and the teacher. And I hope that you've heard some of the concepts that I've shared. Certainly that the student is one, we all are students on lifelong learning. And we all, at one time or another, become teachers. We had academic training, or whether we are just self-educated. Do you agree with that? Anyone?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, when we talk about teaching, I was sharing that a little earlier on the show, Nazim, is that many of us as teachers from the academic arena feel uncomfortable with saying someone else is a teacher and they haven't gone through the academic training. But when we go back to ancient philosophy and we share what some of the researchers have actually brought out about, you know, being an educated individual doesn't mean you have to have the academic training.
Right.
And
exactly.
I just wanted to make sure, that's right, exactly. I wanted to make sure that teachers don't feel uncomfortable with the fact that, you know, we're calling other teachers that may not have gone through the academic training. And I wanted teachers to know as they call in, as yourself, you're a teacher, academically trained in teaching, that we're not in any way demeaning or devaluing the training, the academic training that we all have gone through. But I just wanted to open up and show our respect for people who have also self-educated, have educated themselves, so to speak. You agree?
Yeah. Absolutely. Fantastic. Yes.
I can look at, let's take Dorothy, for instance. Dorothy Rashid, you are a teacher in your own right. Are you not? Hello? Do we still have you on air? Okay. I was trying to acknowledge Dorothy Rashid as one of our teachers. And sometimes it's difficult to say, yes, I'm a teacher, because, you know, it's like we're looking at, you know, well, I haven't gone to college or I haven't finished graduate school. How can I be called a teacher? But when we go back in ancient philosophy, all the way back from to the days of Egypt to the days of the Aryan civilizations, and we find that there, and let's not forget dear old Plato and Socrates, okay, there was no academic pathway for them. They just became self-educated individuals and began to share what they learned. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Dorothy, are you online now?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am.
What makes you a teacher? Yes. What makes you a teacher?
Basically sharing what I've learned through my own life. When I had to learn how to do some basic things, I went to school and took a few classes. But what as I learned how to get on a computer and send emails, that was a small, easy task I could share with others. So I taught it to others.
Right, exactly. And that makes you, I believe that makes you an excellent student and an excellent teacher. Okay, because what we're saying is that, you know, even in the realm of home economics, and we have another caller online, let's acknowledge that caller, and I'll come right back to you. We have another caller online. Hello, caller. Please
Hi,
introduce yourself.
Hi, how you doing?
Hello.
This is BC. I'm calling in, you know, I always like topics when they're dealing with, especially our youth, you know, and trying to get
yes.
into to a point in this society, you know, but you know, one thing I just like to ask, if I may, is that
yes.
you know, sometimes I think we have lost the concept of the beginning of education. When I say that, you know, the parents are the first individual that are teachers to a youth, you know, and you know, I always said with all the BAs, you know, the BS, the PhD, the MBA, and so on and so forth, that we achieve on a higher learning, we have lost the concept
yes.
of the highest degree, which is the common sense. And
and
working for the public school system, I see that all the time. I said, you know, now it comes to the point in our society where we just teaching kids to pass a test. You know, my son, who's a chemical engineering major at Oklahoma State University in his senior year, he always told me, he said, Dad, you know what, at the high school level now, even the junior high, you know, they're not teaching like a long time ago. You know, we're just
right.
teaching to the test, and they're not, you know, having these kids excel. You know, it's just either a paycheck. You know, I'm not saying they don't have good teachers, but the things that you
right.
have to do during the course of the day, you know, especially, you know, start with elementary school and so on and so forth, you know, I don't think the colleges is preparing, you know, teachers to teach in the schools and in the public school.
You know, I really appreciate what you said about that highest degree being the common sense degree, and you know, this is something that I try my best implement within the classroom, because at this level of my career, I'm teaching teachers. I I'll tell you, you're absolutely right. Many times they come into my classroom, and these teachers that are either seeking recertification or they're new teachers, you know, seeking their first certifications, they'll come in with a concept of, you know, basically how kids do the test. Because, I mean, the pressure is on teachers today, unfortunately, from our legislation, and it's causing us to, you know, bend towards that teaching to the test, even though I truly appreciate those teachers, and I hear you saying that too, caller, that you're appreciating the teachers that can open up and teach more, but how do we find some balance in the fact is that they have to teach to the test, and then they also have to bring in that lifelong concept of common sense degrees that go beyond that PhD. Any other callers want to make a comment on that? I think we had another caller coming in and saying they wanted to comment on what this gentleman just said. Just interesting, very comment. Now, Zane, did you want to comment on that?
Well, I think that it's real important to know who your audience is, know who your students are. That's real important. Too many times teachers lose sight of who the students really are. All the students are individual souls that need certain kinds of attention in order to grow properly. They all need that. We can't teach everybody the exact same way and expect for everybody to get it the exact same way. It doesn't work like that. You know, and
right.
so that's why it's very, very important to know who your student is. It might be one student who, say, for instance, didn't have breakfast that morning. All right. Yes. And so that student might not receive everything you're trying to give them because their mind is trying to get the next meal. You
right.
see, and so we have to understand the needs of our particular students and give them that. So first and foremost, we have to be human beings first, and then teachers second. And then
I totally agree with that.
In order, what happens is then we can be more effective teachers because after all, you know, teachers are not ones who try to impart or just give information to students. We're to help them bring out what's already within themselves, you see. But in order for to do that, we have to make sure the student knows that they have what they already need to have already. And we're there to help them bring it out and be a partner in the process. You see, that's important. Not a dictator in the process, but a partner in the process. And that's what's missing, I feel.
Exactly. And I think that's what our caller is saying, too, is that that dictation is too heavy. And that's what his son was bringing out, is that, Dad, we're, you know, they're not teaching us the way they used to teach us. How old is your son, by the way, caller?
Well,
please tell us.
My oldest son just turned, you know, I'm a single father. My oldest son just turned 23. I got a 19-year-old in school. You know, I've been raising them since they were 3, 5, and 9, about 15 years now. And,
well,
and,
congratulations
you know,
to you. May I
well,
say that? Congratulations.
You know what I do see is that as the gentleman just spoke, you know, especially in Title I schools and the inner city schools, I see these kids and these teachers interact, and they have no inclination that a mother and father is sitting uncracked, that this kid is raising themselves and so on and so forth. But when that kid comes to school, right? The only thing that you can do is just sit up there and browbeat that kid with the book. You know, when that kid leave at 3:30 or 3 o'clock and have to go back to that environment, you are not there. You go into your house, you go into that big old house with your garden and don't understand what those kids, you know, going through on a daily basis. And I think it's a fallacy in our system. I think in order for us to correct the situation, we have to start revamping from the district or the state, educational people all the way down. Right, and getting some individuals, not, you know, I'm not saying a degree is not good. I say what happened, we have left common sense out the window, and we are just focusing on money and materialistic things and not focusing on the kids' hand. You know, some of us, not all.
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. I mean, and you know, things that I'd like to bring out as you're speaking here is that we're sponsored by White Apple Institute, which is that's an organization who deals with adult learners. Now, when I say adult learners, it's very interesting, and a lot of people have called up and said, well, what do you mean by an adult? An adult learner caller, and all of the callers online right now, is really talking about the person who is graduating or in that senior high school year, and they are getting ready to go into college or any type of post education. And what happens is that we become involved in their lives from White Apple Institute standpoint because they're not at readiness. Not at readiness because they don't have that common sense that we hope that we encourage all teachers to at least try to find some balance within their classroom. Now, I know and I'm hearing that you are probably an educator yourself.
Yeah,
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, you know, what really happened to me, you know, and I just quickly, you know, when my wife passed away 15 years ago, you know, I had three kids, right? And, you know, my thing is I used to be in the military. I did 24 years in the military. And
always
there for my kids and always in the school system and all that other good stuff. But sometimes, you know, when you know, I had to go back to try to make a difference. You know, and regardless of what I do, you know, whether I go as assistant, whether I go as a teacher, whatever it is, but I had to do something because I saw, you know, in sitting and talking to my kids, I saw this deep, especially in our community, you know, sense of complacency when it comes to education of our kids. You know, and what happened, I see a lot of people coming from the outside within the city, right, to teach the kids, but I come 3:30, they drive, you know, 20, 30 miles back to where they are, you know.
Right.
And the kids are really not getting what they're supposed to get. They don't see those individuals at maybe the Walmart or walking in the mall, you know, on the weekends or whatever it is to say hi, teacher. All they do is to see him during the week, and after that, they don't see him no more. You got to me personally, you have to see those individuals within your community to make a difference, and that's not what we're doing.
You understand that now, this is not something I really want to say to you, but I have to say it because it's the fact. We have legislation now that prevents teachers from taking that extra step. We have so many rules and policies and guidelines that prevent us from even putting our arm around a student and say, how you doing today, baby? How you doing today? I remember, I've been teaching for 30 years, and I remember those days of being able to say that without someone saying, you know, I might be reported for being too up to a student. Or, you know, be careful closing the door while you're talking to a student about his mother being on crack or that he's in. So, again, we come back to this word, and I'd like to leave you with this today, all of our callers today, especially you, sir, that I appreciate you joining us on this first show and hope that you come back on again. Please remember this word balance. This balance means that, again, when the students, us today, we are the students. When we are ready, the teacher appears, and that teacher appears within us to help us to teach those teachers maybe that there needs to be some balance. And in a way, the parents need to make that room too, and I hear that you've already done that, going to the teacher and saying, do you know who my son is? Let me tell you about my son. Let me tell you about my daughter. So that teacher feels a comfort zone and beginning to know that individual student is a whether that student is a kindergarten through 12th grade or whether they are in early years of college or in postgraduate school, all of them, when you are a student and especially in the academic arena, you need that kind of that nudge, that arm around you. In whatever way possible to let you know I'm proud of you. And I'm proud of you, sir. I don't know if you heard me. Thank you for serving our country. I'm a U.S. Army veteran myself, and I certainly appreciate you on the show this morning. Without further ado, because we have Nazim Rashid who will be sharing with us, and hopefully this will help, this will broaden our concept of when the student is ready, the teacher appears, and also give all of us some fuel, continue this conversation a little bit more after Nazim shares with us about connecting to our youth. Nazim Rashid, Development Consultant for White Apple Institute. What do you have to share with us this morning as our co-host?
Well, let's see here. I can share, I was looking at a possible way to start today, and I want to look at the idea of the word and concept of optimism. And it's very important to understand that if we don't have the right kind of frame of mind, we will not hear the correct information for ourselves, nor will we actually benefit from the emotional and spiritual medicine that's out there for us. Because we have to have the right kind of reception in order to benefit. And that all comes down to us having either optimistic or a pessimistic frame of mind, all right? And in even the word optimism, it's very important that we have to understand what that means. And too many times we don't have that. So if you look at the word optimism, we see O-P-T, opt, like optimum, which means a maximum. Got ISM at the end, which means belief system, okay? So you put that together, we have a strong belief system that the best is possible and probable in your life. You see? Or make it more personal, the strong belief that the best is possible and probable in my life. All right? And so once
is that
you have
something,
that...
May I ask you, Nazim, as you're explaining that, is that in relationship to what the caller was saying and in the theme for the day, that optimism is so important for us also, isn't it? The academic teachers, all teachers.
Absolutely. Now with that also, see, now teachers have to understand that if they really believe that that's possible, they have to act on that. That's why all teachers have to have an open door policy somewhere in their work life. They have to, I don't care what the school says, you got to have some kind of open door policy. You stay after school, hour on your own time, some kind of way you got to be available for those young minds who want to know, are you the one for me?
Yes, I totally agree with that. I totally, but what we find is the other word that you use was pessimism, and that's what we find more in our schools today and in our colleges, is this pessimistic attitude towards students. And that's what I think the caller is saying, is that, you know, where is the optimism? Where is that balance to know what I should do with this student?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But see, the thing about it, see, pessimism, like optimism, has certain energy frequencies attached to it. And so when someone has a pessimistic frame of mind, putting certain energy out there saying, I don't believe that the best is possible. I don't believe I can really make it. I don't believe you students are worth anything here. I don't believe anything's going to really happen of any real consequence. I'm just here watching the clock here. That's all there is to it. Don't ask me for anything else. That's it for me and you. That's it. It's their energy. So when that energy goes out there, what happens? The students pick that up. And so if they feel that you have no faith in them, and they have very little faith in themselves, then they say, why bother? They tune off and turn on to something else that's more destructive because they figure that's all I'm supposed to be or expected to be anyway. And that's what happens. That's why you have to turn the channel from the pessimism to the optimism channel, but you have to internalize that inside, knowing that the best is possible and you are going to make a difference and you are a change agent in someone else's life.
Wow, that is powerful. What you said is so powerful, but do teachers have the ability, the faith, to have faith? And I think that falls into what we call teacher expectations. And there's tremendous research out there, Nazim Rashid, on whether or not a teacher's expectations influence academic performance. And it's there. It's there. It's, you know, people are definitely validating that research, that the teacher has to have this optimism, this expectation that our students will do well in order for them to do well. Then they become at-risk learners, which is what White Apple Institute starts working with. And it's a shame that, in a way, that we have to exist. If we don't exist, then we can't bring the student to readiness, because what we do and what you do as a personal development consultant is you help bring that student to readiness so that they can survive in the post-secondary arena, because somewhere in the pre-secondary arena, if you will, the expectations and the faith have not been there.
Exactly.
So, yes.
And also very important to understand, see, our children too many times have been told they aren't supposed to make it. They aren't supposed to excel. They aren't supposed to get a higher learning degree. They aren't supposed to get out of the dysfunctional conditioning that they're brought up in, because they want to pull them in and keep them there because it's familiar. They've always had it like that. It's called a culture of destruction. And what happens is that they want to keep them there because that's how they were brought up. See, the wounded children come from wounded parents. And they want to keep the wounds open because that's how it always has been.
Wow. Any other comments on this? This is just, I mean, what you said is touching my heart. And it's saying to me that we need to add another dimension to our teacher education. And just the research on expectations influencing, you know, student performance, but that we also have to build something called faith. And, you know, I need some help with that. Any other callers online that would like to talk about how we can import faith in our teachers with all of the legislative stuff and all the rules that they have to go through?
Can I say something?
Sure, please.
Yeah, you know what my proposal, you know, and after long consideration and thought, right? I truly think that we spend too much time in an individual that's going for a degree in education spend too much time in college. Okay, I truly believe that you know, 2 years in that environment, and then the other 2 years should be in the elementary school. I think it's mandatory. Me personally, I think it should be mandatory that they go into elementary school, a junior high school, and a high school for those other 2 years, right? And do some actual community work, right? Working with those individuals on the lower spectrum and the higher spectrum in order to get
it right.
To me. You know, because what happened, you know, once you sit in that classroom for the 4 years and you do your little 6 hours or whatever it is and your student teaching and so on and so forth, and then you get pushed, especially into an inner city school, right? You know, it's a system of failures and a lot of teachers that I know has left the profession and doing something else because they couldn't adapt. Hello?
Oh yeah, sounds good to me. I think you're on the right page. I love it. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
You know, because if that, you know, so you know, I've seen a lot of student teacher comes in and then they enter school and they come back and it's like, you know, they're so lost because you know the things that they're dealing with and you know, trust me and you know and the lady, she knows that if we really put them to the test in certain schools, you know, they're failing miserably.
Right.
Definitely.
I agree with you. I agree with you because what happens is, as we all agree here, kind of like talking, preaching to the choir here, is that playtime teachers lose touch. They lose touch on their audience. They lose touch. They're so concentrated on what the professor is saying, what their books are saying, what the so-called research is saying. They don't know what the student's saying.
Yes, sir.
See?
Yes.
They don't know what the student's saying. And that's the problem. You know? Because, see, teachers are there to serve the students. They're there to serve their needs, not their own ego needs. Serve the student's needs. So, therefore, the student is there really to lead the teacher. But we don't have that. We don't have that order like that. Make sense?
To me, you know, I see it every day. You know, and what I think, for me personally, I'm also an individual in the community and you know, I'm in different organizations that goes to these houses and you know, see the thing that is going on in my city. And matter of fact,
yes.
I was speaking to a teacher, you know, that live, you know, about 30 miles, right, from
mm-hmm.
where she teaches. And to see her interact, and I personally saw this, you know, they pick and choose certain kids, you know, and this is not a racial statement or prejudice statement, but
yes.
I have personally seen where the same thing a young black kid had done, right,
yes.
get sent to the office, a white kid do the same thing and crawl under the desk and so on and so forth, hadn't got sent to the office, you know, because,
yes.
you know, this lady come from a different community. She doesn't understand the mindset, you know, and she can't. She really can't put up with that at the moment. So she just take him, and he kept being sent to the office over and over again, you know. And I'm sitting up here, and I'm looking at this thing, you know, and it's just mind-boggling to me that the principal and different things, you know and let those things play out. This guy eventually went to the Student Adjustment Center, and I'm saying, for what reason?
Mm-hmm.
Why other people in the class are misbehaving?
And this is real life. I mean, we're not bringing in situations that don't exist in our real life. I mean, we can take an employment situation and see the same thing. And so that's why what you said earlier, caller. And what city, by the way, do you live in?
I live in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, okay.
Oklahoma, yes,
and
Oklahoma City.
And at any city in the USA can, I'm sure that any caller can come in and say the same thing that you said just now because I've seen it. I witnessed it myself, and it is true. but it's still true in the employment setting, it's true in the real world setting, is that racism exists. So how do we help that student that's been sent to the office more times, and my son experienced this himself, is that, Mom, why is this happening? I mean, that guy did even more than I did, and just because of his skin, he's not sent to the office. And we're only dealing with that one individual teacher. Sometimes there's systemic racism. Now, I'm not going to ignore that. But right now we're just talking about the individual teacher having an issue with not only her own racism and stereotyping, but also in cultural acceptance. Because there is a different culture that we all develop, no matter what ethnicity we are, but where our home, what goes on in our home and the way we react and communicate with each other. And sometimes that's misinterpreted by teachers. And so that's one of the things that I hope that any teachers that are on the line today are learning, is about that balance that happened with going back into, well, do I understand the culture of my students? Am I really looking at myself and understanding my own identity? Who am I? Do I call myself a white teacher or a black teacher, or am I just a good teacher?
Yes, ma'am.
What does it matter what my ethnicity is? Doesn't it matter more, as Nazim pointed out earlier, about my optimism, about my faith? And as you pointed out earlier, sir, about the common sense degree. And those are the things that if we can, in some way, through this internet radio show, in some way, instill faith back again in teachers and in students as they continue to call in. That is certainly my faith, is that we can change that situation. I hope you join me in that faith. Nazim, would you like to close with your comments now on this optimism, pessimistic balance and this faith issue that teachers, we encourage teachers and students to have, but I know your focus this morning on helping that teacher that's out there.
Yes, well, absolutely. I think if we just understand the effects of our energy that's put out, our effects of our energy, it's so important. As a matter of fact, I thought of an exercise I had some of my students do. I would have one person come to the class, just stand there and close their eyes, and then I'll have the student in single file slowly, one at a time, go by that student, walk by, maybe come within, 4 inches, 4 or 5 inches, or maybe 6 inches of the student to kind of go by them. And what happens is that the person who's with the eyes closed, they can feel different energy from the different students going by. Some of them mm-hmm. made them really cringe. Some made them feel good, and see, and so forth. And so after exercise, I asked the student, well, how they feel? They said, well, yeah, they feel eerie, they feel good, a varied amount of emotions. And so what I told the class is that, I said, what you carry, you actually put out there, manifest. So it's very important to know whatever you have inside as far as feelings are concerned and care for someone, you don't have the same, it comes out there. People can feel it. They can feel it. Real important.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's very important if we're going to be in the helping profession that we need to have, first of all, internalized good feelings about the student, good feelings about the person we're talking to and dealing with. And that person will feel that. So we don't have to explain so much about how we feel to the person. They can feel that anyway. And so now when mm-hmm. you say something in regards of love and so forth, that only confirms what they already feel anyway from you. So we have to have this idea of optimism about ourselves and about the other person in order for your spirit and their spirit to align themselves to become partners so that we can together bring out the best in that student. And that's so very important. And teachers today have to take the time to do that in order to be effective. They have to do that. Forget about the politics, the low salary, the all other problems in there. If they're really there for the student, they have to have a sense of optimism inside and instill that in the student.
Yes, absolutely. And back at the teacher again. Not that way, and I hope that it's not interpreted in any way. I think that any teachers that are joining on this discussion will understand that we are not in no way demeaning or devaluing what you have to do. Because, I mean, in teaching who are students, the number one thing that I hear so much is that, how does the administration expect us to do all of these things and try to get them test ready, and we only have them maybe in our tower at a time? We've got to get subject material done. And now the student-to-teacher-to-student radio show is encouraging us to have more faith and more optimism in our students. What we'd like to say to those teachers who are asking about where do you find the time, I'm going to bring out the term, Nazim, and I think that you'll agree with me, of being simultaneous. We integrate all of the things that you've talked about this morning with our academic teaching, teaching academics and teaching history, and using exercises like you mentioned just now. And boy, a wonderful exercise. I agree with it. I think it's wonderful. And does it take time away from the academic test readiness that we are searching for? No. It actually can be a complement, because right. Students need a break for a moment. Go ahead.
Right.
You agree?
Absolutely, absolutely. Teachers sometimes think they have a special class just to do that. No, the integrated.
Yes, yes. Mhm. Yes, and also, you know, for our Oklahoma caller, and I just really appreciate you so much, sir. May I suggest that we also put out the word, back to what you were saying, you know, they leave the community, they leave the community where the school is, and they go to another community. One of the things that I encourage the teachers to do, at least shop. Sometimes just go to a supermarket that's near the school. You know, tell your students that, you know, after school today, I'm going to be at so-and-so market. You know, and if you want to come over and join me, I'll show you some things about, you know, purchasing. Now, this might be a little out of their realm if they're geography teachers, but certainly within their realm if they're math teachers, okay? And so this is an extension, and plus you get your grocery shopping done, but it's a way of reaching out beyond that 3 o'clock bell or that 9:45 p.m. bell or whatever it is. Do you agree, caller?
Yes, ma'am. I totally agree with you. You know what happened? We had a Chinese teacher that came the end of the school year, right? Actually,
uh-huh.
From China, to come and do some work with us. You know, and the things that we were doing, you know, they are so advanced, right? She came with the third grade, and she was telling them, look, you know, these individuals are learning different sciences and advanced math in your grade. You understand what I'm saying? And
yes, yes.
You know, we have, you know, originally I was born in the Caribbean. And,
you were born where? Say that again.
I was born in Trinidad and Tobago.
Uh-huh.
And in the Caribbean. And you know, the mm-hmm. things that we do is totally different, you know,
yes.
in the teachings. And I tell them, I said, when they told me, they don't start learning the multiplication table until the third grade. I said, shoot, in kindergarten, we have to come up and we have those tables, you know, in one of our books. And we go through
mm-hmm.
those things on a daily basis as we walk in class, and we make it out the song. We learn penmanship. And here you go, you're trying to learn cursive in the third and fourth grade, where they teach that in other mm-hmm. countries early on.
Yes,
you know, so
exactly.
We're behind the power curve in some sort, you know, and we have to catch up.
Right, because the student is not ready,
yes,
and the teacher cannot appear when the student is not ready.
Yes,
and so whatever the teacher is teaching, it doesn't make any sense, especially, as Nazim pointed out earlier, if the student is hungry, and this could be from the kindergartner. I have, I teach college students, and I have students that actually have been living in shelters and still continuing on trying to learn and try something in their life from an academic standpoint. And so it goes on all levels,
yes,
that teachers, professors have to reach out and have to become more involved in I don't want to wait until the third grade, even though that's the curriculum that's been given to me by my district, that I can also, I can say, no, 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 I want to integrate this a little earlier because I care, because I have faith, because I have high in my students. Nazeem, as we become, as we get to a close now, I certainly want you to stay on live co-host today, and I want to bring on someone as we come to a close of the show. I want to make sure that we have enough time for resources and announcements, anything that's on the horizon that teachers as well as students need to look at. The Rashid is willing to share some resources for us. And if we have 8 minutes remaining on the show right now, and if we have enough time, we want to come back and close with our Oklahoma caller this morning and any other listeners that say anything. I don't want to ignore anybody. I see that the switchboard is full here, and I want to make sure that we've given everybody an opportunity to speak this morning. Dorothy Rashid is our resource consultant for White Apple Institute. Good morning, Dorothy.
Good morning. Yes, real quickly, I can share this. It'll only take probably about 60 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I just wanted to talk about identity theft and how important it is today. And I didn't realize until recently that there's at least 5 major types of identity theft. It can involve driver's licenses. It can involve Social Security numbers. It can involve medical information. It can involve your character, criminal actions. So it's another realm of identity theft that affects your life outside of financial. So it may not be that somebody got your credit card and ruined your credit score. It could be that somebody got your medical, they used your Social Security number, went into the hospital, had an operation, you get a bill for $40,000, and your credit's messed up, and you're like, well, wait a minute, I didn't have this operation.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when you go into the hospital having had that happen, they have your medical records all messed up. The person who had the operation, maybe they had diabetes, and so they're giving you some they're giving you medications you don't need because you don't have diabetes. So there is a service that can help with that. They have real investigators from the Kroll investigators so that if you have an identity theft problem, when you call in to complain, they don't just close your accounts and say, we'll do our best. They actually investigate how it happened and restore your character. So,
well, one of the things that I'm going to say on your behalf is that seeing you with many of our students, and you bring up tremendous resources, things we haven't at White Apple Institute even thought about, and I can tell you most assuredly, I have had not only teachers and students come in with issues about their credit card, but how about this one? I've had students come in and talk about someone using their transcripts. Okay, that's another area of identity theft. Because now, because of the fact that we're doing a lot of very, very intense checking on the transcripts, because before people, a few years ago actually, up to 10 years ago, people could just make up a transcript. And they'll make a dummy diploma and all of these things. And they weren't checked out thoroughly. Well, now, because they've come down on it, looking at, does this school exist? Did the student exist? Now they're actually stealing the identities of different students and going and applying for jobs on their diplomas. Yes. So that's another area. Another area of again, back to our theme, and always all of the resources that you've always shared always help our students and our teachers. We have to be at readiness in so many areas. And sometimes when we talk about readiness, and we're going to continue this discussion next week, I had another theme that I was going to discuss, but it seems like we need to develop this a little bit more about this that we all need to have. So I'm inviting our Oklahoma caller to come back on because you certainly have shared some wonderful things with us. Do we have any announcements coming up, Dorothy Rashid, any announcements about any future things? Nothing right now on the calendar?
None that I'm looking at right this moment.
Okay.
I don't have any announcements right now.
Well, let's encourage our callers to come on, to get online to whiteapplinstitute.org. And when you get on to whiteapplinstitute.org, just hit the Contact Us button, and you can send us an email and say, listen, whatever Dorothy was talking about this morning about those resources on identity theft, I know more about them. And we'll forward that email to our resource consultant. We'd like to now come to a close. We've got like 3 minutes remaining on our show. And we'd like to ask, has everyone had an opportunity, because I see the switchboard is still has at least right now 7 callers. And I know that people are listening, and we'd like to give anyone else an opportunity to say whatever they have felt through the broadcast. Okay.
Hello.
Well, we want to very much go ahead.
I just appreciate, you know, I always appreciate when we, you know, sometimes we listen to the different rhetoric and you know, we really don't hit it on the head, and I think you do. And I always tell people, you know, we are at the stage right now that we are in the doubt stage, and in order for us to change some of the things that's going on, we have to get to the children. And we have to get to the schools and do the things we need to do to teach them in order to take over, because we wouldn't be here, you know, much longer. You know, we a tribe, but you know, those are the ones who we need to get into the know and get into the society to understand the business of this world and this United States of America in order to take us into the next centuries and so on and so forth.
Well, yes, sir, and I have to, I think that around the world, outside of our Euro-American, if you will, our Euro-American experience, outside of that, we know, and other people have acknowledged that what is so true, that the children are the key, our students are the key at whatever level they're at, and that if we don't do something quickly, we are not going to be on the same level as those who are training, who understand that concept. And we can go to Iran and see that they totally understand it, because they have integrated certain diets into their children before they even get to kindergarten. And so they truly understand that whatever their position is with America, with England, with that we have to start early. We have to prepare our students, and we have to prepare our teachers, and we have to support them. We hope that next week you will join us on student to teacher to student. Talk to your friends, have them join us on the show. We welcome comments. As you see, we are so open. We want everyone to have an opportunity. So next week, we will continue our discussion, roles and responsibilities for students and teachers, and we want your views of what makes an effective student an effective teacher, okay? So on that note, we'll begin closing. Anything inspirational you'd like to share with us, Nazim, while we close this morning?
Oh, well, just that keep in mind that we are ruled by our dominant thoughts, and we think whatever way we think, that's the way we're actually laying our life out there. So if we think that we can make a difference, we can make a difference. If we think that it's hopeless, it's hopeless. So therefore, your rhubarb dominant thought, therefore put the right thoughts in there constantly that we want to actually manifest in our lives.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. As we come to a close now, thank you so much for being on our show this morning. Goodbye, my friends.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. See you next week, 10 o'clock, Saturday.
Ada?
our next week.